During the pre-session time tonight, now I want to zero in on a specific area in the husband and wife relationships, and that is the whole area of your spirit and what it communicates to your mate. Many times we react not merely to external things that we perceive from our mate, we react to a spirit that we pick up. By the way, if there are any college-age young people in here, single adults have not yet been married, there is a pre-session for you tonight that's taking place, I suppose, in 316 where they were taking place last week. And there is a pre-session time for you if you would desire to step out and to be a part of that. The Scripture says that all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Of course I'm right. Just ask me. But the Scripture says that the Lord weighs the spirit. The Scripture says that as in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man answers to the heart of man. And we want to look at some basic areas here that cause the spirit of a husband to react to his wife, cause the spirit of a wife to react to her husband, and see if you can identify with any of these areas in your own life. First of all, we'll deal with the area, what causes the spirit of a husband to react to the spirit of his wife? The first one is rather obvious concerning when you consider the role that God gives to the wife and the role that God gives to the husband, and that is a resistance to his will. Sometimes husbands, I have found, unsaved husbands, sometimes will push an issue with their wife who claims to know the Lord simply because they have picked up a resistance in her heart. And so they will sometimes push things to the limit in order to find out whether or not her Christianity is going to hold true and whether or not she will submit to her own husband. I'm not talking about a wife submitting in situations where her husband is asking her to violate God as the ultimate authority in her life. The truth of the matter is, though, that I have found that in about 90% of the cases where an unsaved husband is asking his wife to do something, he's not actually asking her to do something that would violate a command of God. That is, it's not something that she can honestly say, I have a conviction against this and I cannot do this. Most of the times it's just a personal preference on her part, something that she doesn't necessarily want to do. And a husband will react to that kind of spirit. Sometimes a husband gives direction to the wife, and as we've talked about before, she decides and gets a new burden for cooking, goes into the kitchen, starts taking it out on the pots and pans, banging them all over the kitchen, simply because she cannot respond to what her husband has said. Other women who struggle with the direction that's given by their husband will find themselves trying to manipulate the husband, trying to coerce, trying to use a strong spirit in order to get the husband to change the direction that he's given. The Scripture says in Proverbs 14 that a wise woman builds up her house, but a foolish woman plucks it down with her hands. The idea of plucking down with your hands, I believe, is the idea of manipulation. Taking control of the thing. Not letting God take care of it, getting your hands in it and trying to make something happen. Now, it's interesting that in Proverbs they also talk about the spider. Behold the spider who takes hold with his hands and is in king's palaces. You can get ultimately wherever you want to get as a lady by manipulating and using your hands and your own spirit to manipulate and to try to turn that thing. But in the end result, it's not going to bring you the satisfaction and the peace that God's way of thinking will bring. And so sometimes a husband will react if he picks up a resistance from his wife concerning his will. Another thing that will cause a husband to react is lack of confidence in his decisions. Husband comes through the house with a monkey wrench in his hand, the wife runs and stands in front of the living room, bathroom door and says, no, no, honey, don't do that. Now, ladies, there's a subtle way of telling your husband that you don't think he's any good at plumbing. Better than that, you know. I mean, you might make a suggestion like, hey, honey, remember the last time that we went to fix the plumbing? We found out if we went down in the basement and turned that little valve off first that we didn't have to shampoo the carpet at the same time. I mean, you know, there's a different way of doing that and still getting the same message across. But a husband will react when he picks up from a wife a questioning of the decisions that he makes. And this is true also in the spiritual realm, too. Sometimes ladies who are heavily involved in things within the church, precept ministries and Bible studies and things like that, become frustrated sometimes wondering why their husband doesn't take spiritual leadership. And one of the reasons why the husband doesn't is because every time he's tried to, he's gotten shut down. He didn't pronounce it the way that she did, and she knew more of a historical background than he did or something like that. And a husband will begin to react to a wife who doesn't back up the spiritual decisions that he makes and questions him in front of the children and so on. Another thing that will cause the husband to react is an inflexibility to his priorities. An independent spirit many times is communicated by a wife when the husband gets home a few minutes late, you know, and the meal is cold and she's hot. He comes in saying, "Boy, honey, I'm really sorry. I mean, I just had a change in the schedule the last 15 minutes there at the work and I didn't have time to call you." She said, "No problem. Me and the kids went on and eat. If you want yours hot, fix it yourself." Well, that kind of spirit doesn't exactly communicate a servant's heart and one who is committed to making your husband a success. And so a husband will end up reacting to that. Another thing is resentment for past failures. You know, someone said that for many people, the only place they're willing to bury the hatchet's in the middle of the back. And many times a husband will begin to try to get on his feet spiritually. He comes back, and maybe it's the fifth time this year. As a matter of fact, maybe it's the fifth time this month that he's come back to you as a family and said, "All right, we're going to start family devotions again." You know, and the wife reaches back in the skeleton, back in the closet, and starts rattling the old skeletons and says, "Honey, are you sure you want to do this again? I mean, we've started this five times this year." May I submit to you that spiritual leadership is not so much where you are as where you're headed. And if you started in that direction, your husband started in that direction in a new and a fresh way, work with him through those difficulties and so on and learning how to do it. But don't keep reminding him of the failures of the past. Help to build him up, to affirm him, and to help him head in the right direction. Another thing is failure to build loyalty in the lives of the children. Husband gives direction for something, comes back home 3 hours later, and finds out that it really wasn't done. And the wife says, "Oh, I didn't really think you meant that. I mean, I knew that that was the wrong decision, and so I figured you weren't really going to have us do that." You will fail to build loyalty in the lives of the children toward the father if you don't help to carry out the direction that he's given. I wish I had time, maybe God will allow time in one of the pre-sessions, to deal with this whole concept of where the wife is to be getting direction for the home. Proverbs chapter 6 speaks of the father's commandment and the mother's law. And the husband is to give the direction and the wife is to guard the direction, to see to it that it's carried out within the home. God put you there to be a helpmeet, to help carry out the direction that's been given. And when a wife is constantly changing that direction or overriding that direction, you will not build loyalty in the lives of the children toward their father. Here's another one, a lack of a grateful spirit. Husband comes home and he bought a special package for his wife, you know, and got it all wrapped up and brings it in. She's, "Oh, she's so excited. She can't wait to open it up." And husband realized over the last couple of weeks that when she'd been fixing him toast in the morning, that it kept on being burned. And he realized it wasn't her fault. It was because the toaster was all worn out. And so he thought he'd go out here and surprise her and buy this new toaster. And sure enough, he buys this new toaster. She's opening this package up so excited. And then she opens it up and sees the toaster. And as soon as she does, her countenance drops. And he says, "Honey, what's wrong?" She said, "Oh, nothing. That's great. Thank you." "No, no, honey, what's wrong? Is it not the color you wanted? What's wrong? Oh, no, it's nothing like that. It's just, I just kind of thought that the next time we get one, it does four pieces at once instead of two." And you can't even communicate a grateful spirit for the things that he does do. I'll tell you another thing that will show itself in this way. It's when you start getting a call from one of your neighbors down the road. And the lady on the other end says, "Boy, I just want you to know, I so appreciate your husband. I mean, we've had problems with our hot water heater for the last month and a half, and my husband's never had time to get it, and your husband's down here fixing it for us, and it's working just great now, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate your willingness to let your husband come down here and do that." And the lady says, "My husband's at your house? Fixing your hot water heater? Boy, I mean to tell you, when he gets home that night, the fat hits the fan. What in the world are you doing down there fixing their hot water heater? I've been trying to get you to fix our own hot water heater for the last month and a half, and you haven't done nothing. You go down there and fix it." You know why? Because he knew exactly what he'd get from you if he fixed it. All he'd get from you is, "It's about time. I've been trying to get you to do it for a month and a half." He knows if he goes down there and does it, they're going to appreciate it. They're going to be overwhelmed with gratitude. And that's the danger of building up expectations. Even if he meets all those expectations, all he'll get from you is good, finally. Rather than expressions of appreciation. Learn how to express appreciation for those little things that we normally think, quote, are his responsibility anyway. Learn how to call attention to those things. Here's another one. Inconsistencies in discipline. A wife who no longer cares how she appears, knows her husband's going to be home and she doesn't take care of herself, doesn't clean up the home. A wife who just lets her weight go and doesn't care anymore about her physical appearance and so on. A husband will react to that kind of thing. A wife that stays in bed half the day and doesn't get up and take care of them. You know, ladies, it's hard to get away from those passages in Proverbs 31 that says that she rises early. And that's the qualities of a virtuous woman. And she meets those needs and prepares those needs for the family. Now, we're in a lot of role reversal that's taking place today, but God still outlined that in Proverbs 31 as the quality of a virtuous woman. Well, a husband will react when he begins to see those disciplines that don't seem to be consistent in the life as once they were. Here's another one, attempting to correct the husband in public. You've probably seen one of these situations if you've been in many fast food places, you know. And you get there right at the busiest time, and in comes this family. I mean, they come storming in. She pulls the door open, almost pulls it off, and she says, come on, honey, get that kids in here, out of the cold, it's the cold out of there. And she gets them in. She says, now look, here's what we want, and remember, don't forget the ketchup. I'll go get the kids seated. You get in line. No, get in that line over there. It doesn't have as many people in it. You know, I mean, she's bossing up one side and down the other. And that poor, yes, dear, you know, he walks over and gets in line, starts getting all the food and so on, and gets it back to the table, and guess what? I can't believe the last thing I told you is don't forget the ketchup. You sit down with the kids. I'll go see if I can do something right. I'll get the ketchup. We better pray first. Pray for the... No, forget it. I'll pray, you know? Is it any wonder that Solomon said, it's better to dwell in the corner of a roof than in a wide house with a brawling and a contentious woman. I mean, if anybody knew, Solomon should have, you know, 300 wives and 700 concubines. I mean, he had his whole choice of it. And in the midst of it, what else did Solomon say? He said, trying to hide a contentious woman is like trying to hide the wind. You ever try that? It's like the ointment of the hand that berets itself. You know, you try your best to get a grip on it, and it keeps on slipping out. There's nothing you can do to keep it from exposing itself. Well, needless to say, a husband will react to that kind of spirit. Another thing that will cause a husband to react is this spirit of expecting. Now, that's not like some of our wives are, you know, with child or with children. That's not what this is talking about. He may react to that, too. But this is dealing with that whole area of expectations that we were talking about. There are some husbands who need desperately to be freed up from your expectations. There are women who have carried such heavy and weighty expectations into your marriage, and perhaps 15 and 20 years down the road, you've never yielded them over. You wonder why that every time he gets a chance, he's working overtime and so on. It's because he's trying to make things better for you and better for the family. And in the midst of it, he is a prisoner to your expectations. When you married, it was for better or worse, and you keep pushing him to keep on and on and on, making it better, better, better. Commit yourself to make the most out of it. And there may be some areas where, especially true with a wife who has grown up in a situation where you perhaps had things very financially well off. And some of you perhaps who've only been married a few years and you may have come from a home that was fully equipped and all that type of thing. And to put those kinds of pressures upon a husband in the early years of the marriage, you'll work him into an early grave. Learn how to yield those expectations over to God. One of the problems with young couples today is that they want to start off their marriage now what took their families 15 and 20 years to get there with. Learn how to yield those expectations over to God and get together and grow together spiritually rather than building up all those expectations that frustrate your husband to the point to where even if he fulfilled all of them, he still wouldn't get that expressions of gratitude from you. It would just be the type of thing that it's about time. Well, a husband will react to those kinds of things. Let's talk about the other side. What causes the spirit of a wife to react to the spirit of her husband? First of all, an awareness that she's not first place in his life. Now, you know, you've probably seen this kind of situation take place before. As a matter of fact, you've probably been caught in it as a husband. you take your wife out for a special dinner, you know, and you're sitting down at the table, and she's on one side, and you're on the other side, and you're watching the people as they come in the restaurant, and your wife's telling you a story about what's been going on. And you're listening to her, even though you're not looking at her. And as long as she still knows she's got your attention, she goes on telling the story. And you're kind of watching people as they come in, and here's an elderly couple that comes in, and you watch them as they go across, and they get seated, and so on. And the whole time, your wife just keeps telling you the story. Then you watch these two businessmen as they come in, and they come over here, and they seat them over there, and your wife keeps on telling the story, because even though you're not looking at her, she still knows that you're listening to her. And about that time, these two young, sharp-looking ladies come in. And I mean, they haven't any more set foot in the door than your wife's about to break her neck, turn around to find out what you're looking at. And you wonder, how in the world did she catch me? I'll tell you how. She saw it in your eyes. She saw the very second that she lost first place in your life. I want to ask you as a husband tonight, if there's a trust in your wife's life for you, does she trust that if the wrong kind of thing comes on television, you're going to be the one who turns it off? Does she trust that if the temptation were to face you at church or at your place of business concerning the possibility of an illicit relationship, does she really feel like that you are committed to be faithful to her in both mind and action? You may sit there and you say, well, I can see running into that kind of situation at my business, but surely you don't think I'd run into that at church. Do you remember what Solomon said concerning strange women? Where did he run into a problem with strange women? He says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. I would submit to you today that preachers who have lost their ministry because of immorality did not get involved with prostitutes. They got involved with strange women. They give an air of religiousness on the outside. They flatter with their tongue, but in the end result, their steps take hold on death and hell, and they end you up in the same place that a prostitute will. But it's a strange woman. Is there an awareness in the heart of your wife that you can be trusted? That she really is first place and that you're committed? A wife will react when she doesn't pick up that kind of spirit from her husband. Secondly, a failure to recognize special attempts that she does for things in order to please you. I'll never forget, after my wife and I first got married, Nancy found out that I like red velvet cake. It's one of my favorite types of cake. And so I was gone to work one day, and she decided she wanted to do something special for me. And so she wanted to fix me a red velvet cake. And she called her sister down in Florida, we lived in Virginia at the time, and got the recipe over the phone for red velvet cake. Now, may I suggest to you that it's probably not best to get recipes over the phone, but if you do, at least double check everything when you get them. Anyway, she had taken this recipe, and by the time I got home, she met me at the front door, and you know, it was one of those situations where you kind of feel like that you may be walking on a powder keg. You don't know what it is, but you just know that everything could explode at any second. And when I walked in the house, Nancy said to me, she said, Tim, I did something special for you today. Now, and I'll tell you what, I'm so glad today that God gave grace and I responded right in that situation. Otherwise, I might not be here sharing these family principles with you. But anyway, I said, honey, what was it? What did you do? And she told me, she said, I fixed a special red velvet cake for you. And it was this big three-layer red velvet cake and so on, you know. And I said, honey, I'm so excited. That's great. Honey, I love you for doing that, you know. And about that time, she said, however, something went wrong. And she said, I just want to prepare you before you see it. And so she took me in the kitchen to show it to me. And it was this big three-layer red velvet cake. And when she lifted the lid off, the whole thing was about this tall. It wasn't a laughing matter at the time, folks. And I looked at it and I said, oh, honey, thank you. It doesn't matter what happened to it. That's one. I just appreciate you doing it. And you know what she did then? She started crying. I mean, she'd already made up her mind. She's going to cry anyway. I'm just glad she was crying over a right response instead of a wrong response. And you know what? After that, folks, we could talk about it. You see, what had happened was Either her sister had told her, or she had written down, a cup and a half of shortening is supposed to have been a half a cup of shortening. And so that thing rose up just beautiful in the oven, you know, but it had three times as much shortening as it's supposed to have in it, and after it got out, it just started squeezing down about like this, and it looked like, now, it's a laughing matter now, it wasn't at the time. We got to where we could call it our Frisbee cake. It looked like you'd taken three Frisbees and spread a little icing on them and put them on top of one another. But it wasn't a laughing matter at the time. Well, there's a need for us as husbands to recognize those special attempts that she does something. I mean, even if she knits you a sweater and one sleeve is 3 inches longer than the other one, you know, curl it up or put it up under your arm or something. Just show special appreciation for those things that she does for you. Here's another thing that'll cause a wife to react. Unfavorable comparison with other women. If you want to set the stage for a church split, just say to your wife, "Why can't you be like so-and-so?" I mean to tell you, you'll have serious problems on your hands. Scripture says it's a dangerous thing to compare anyway. But I would suggest to you, if there's ever any area in which you want to compare your wife with another, let it be a positive thing. I remember hearing Helen Rosevere one time share her testimony at Thomas Road when we were there. And there were a couple of things that I specifically picked up in the life and the qualities in this woman's life that I was able to go home and say to Nancy, "Honey, you know what I appreciated about what she had to share was that it reminded me so much of you in this area and in this area." But be careful of unfavorable comparisons with other people. Don't use that as a momentum in order to try to get her to improve. All you'll do is create comparisons and insecurity and destroy her self-worth in that type of a thing. Here's another thing that will cause a wife to react is a lack of spiritual leadership. A husband who doesn't take the initiative, who genuinely knows the Lord but doesn't take the initiative. He's not in tune with what's going on in his family. He's not willing to pray over situations with them. He tries to put all of that pressure and responsibility on the wife from the standpoint of feeling like that it's just not macho to be a godly man. Well, I want to submit to you that it may not be macho, but it's right before God. It's one of the true qualities of being a genuine man. Is a willingness to take spiritual leadership, is a willingness to admit when you've blown it and get a brand new start. And I would say to you here tonight, you may be here and you may have started family devotions 5 different times in the last year. Go back to it. Start it all over again. Begin again. Rather than focusing on the failures of the past, be committed to heading in a right direction that will help your family to know that you're committed to getting direction from God. It doesn't mean that when your children come that you always have to have all the answers. All it means is that they have to sense an approachableness from you that if you don't have the answers, you'll go to somebody else or you'll go to God and His Word and you'll seek out to try to find what those answers are. A wife will react when she feels like that a husband is not heading toward spiritual leadership. Another one is a rejection of her opinions is important. Do you ever go through the situation as a husband of coming to your wife and asking her her opinion, and either she will not answer you or she says, "Just do whatever you think's best"? Many times the reason she won't answer is because other times when she did answer, she either felt like you didn't listen to what she said, or secondly, you stopped her right in the middle of it. She started telling you what she thought, and you said, "Oh, that'll never work. I should have known better than to ask you to begin with." And so many times we as men with our logic run over our wife and crush her spirit because we're not willing to listen to her perspective. And I would say to you that there are times when God will give direction and protection through women's intuition more than He will man's logic. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't have been bad if Pilate would have listened to the advice that his wife tried to give that night when she passed him a note concerning Jesus and had said, "Have nothing to do with this just man, for I've suffered many things because of him in a dream this night." Listen to what she has to say and don't reject her opinions as if they have no importance. And then a lack of inner discipline. A lack of inner discipline as a husband. Not picking up after yourself. Not having good manners in front of your wife. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love does not behave itself unseemly. And I would challenge you as a husband that if you really want your wife to realize that you believe that she is of great value, that you learn how to change some of your manners in front of her. Don't be so relaxed in certain things that you will do with your wife that you wouldn't do if there were other people around. It'll begin to cause her to feel degraded. Here's another one, inadequate preparation for changes. Wife's in there fixing supper, and She hears this rumbling out in the front yard, and she goes out to see what's going on. She was expecting her husband home, and she looks, and her husband's car is not in the drive. Instead, there's this big Ryder truck, and her husband hops down out of the cab. And she says, "Honey, what's that for?" He says, "Oh, didn't I tell you, honey? I've been transferred. We're expected in New York Monday." "What do you mean? How long have you known?" "Well, I knew, found out about 6 months ago. I thought I'd mentioned it to you." He felt like that's all he had to do. You know, as far as you're concerned, as a husband, all you can do is pack everything up there, get it in there, and take off and transfer. It's not that way with her wife. She's going to pack. It's going to take her 3 days just going through the boxes of stuff she hadn't looked at for 15 years and reminiscing over all the old annuals and the old clothes and all that kind of stuff and crying through all of that before she ever begins to start packing stuff. Give adequate time for God to bring her emotions up to the point. You see, men usually respond, first of all, you know, with their mental response and then with their will. Ladies usually respond first with their emotions, then with their mind, and then their will last of all. And you've got to enter that thing from her frame of reference. I'll never forget when Nancy and I were coming to Life Action. I was on the staff at Thomas Road 1 year out of college and in a position that many people across the country would have given their right arm to be in 1 year out of college, and a nice job and a brand new home and brand new furniture. But we had known for several years that God, or I had known for several years that God may one day want me in Life Action. I knew that Life Action for me meant raising your support, living like a missionary, and getting the support if it came in, if not, going without it and trusting God. And here we were with a fine salary and a brand new home brand new furniture, and one night at a basketball game, I ran into a former friend of mine who formerly I'd worked with, who was now with Life Action. He didn't even mention anything about me coming, but God began to use it in my heart. We went home that night, went to bed, and my wife went to sleep, and God started working in my heart. I knew God was calling us to Life Action. Here it was, 11 o'clock and 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I was still wrestling that thing through. I knew that God wanted us to come. As a matter of fact, all the reasons for which we shouldn't come were all these material, earthly, temporal things. Because of the new home and I knew that if it was God that was trying to keep me from coming, He wouldn't give me material, temporal reasons for which I shouldn't be going. When I surrendered that thing, I began going through the house then about 3 o'clock in the morning, selling off our new furniture. You know, I said, "Well, I know somebody that needs a living room, and we can sell that for that much." And so by about 3:30, my surrender had become so sweet. I was so excited about what God wants to do that I was giving away our furniture, you know. And about 3:45, after I finished giving away all of our furniture, I leaned over and woke Nancy up and asked her this question. At 4 o'clock in the morning, I said, "Honey, what does this house and all this furniture really mean to you anyway?" And at 4 o'clock in the morning, she gave me a normal response. She said, "I don't know," and rolled over and went back to sleep. Well, I dropped it and finally got to sleep. The next morning, we were at the breakfast table. And Nancy says, "Tim, was I dreaming last night? Or did you wake me up?" And I said, "No, you weren't dreaming, honey. God wants us to go to Life Action." Well, she knew what that meant. But I immediately said to her, "However, I want you to know that we won't go until God gives you peace." You see, if God can work in my heart, God can work in hers as well. We are one. We are helpmates. We are together. And so sure enough, about 2 weeks later, we're driving down the road, and she got real quiet, and all of a sudden she shared it with me. "Honey, I know God wants us to go, and I'm ready to go." And then she cried. I mean, that's a natural response for a woman when she releases something like that. And so there was adequate time for the changes. Don't come home as a husband when God shows you some big spiritual truth and start jerking out stuff of your wife's that you think she needs to get rid of. You give God time to work in her heart. Don't you play the Holy Spirit in her life. Well, others, inconsistencies in discipline. It goes on both sides, the husband and the wife, and attempts to correct in public. That as well goes on both sides. Be careful of trying to correct your mate in public, and I would add to that, in front of the children. Settle those kinds of things away from the children so that it doesn't become such a overwhelming pride factor for either one of you as a mate to be facing. Well, let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would increase our sensitivity to our mate. Help us as husbands to begin to see things through the eyes of our wife as much as is possible. Help wives to begin to understand the makeup of a man in a greater way, to where she recognizes the need for building him up in her spirit and in her responses. We commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.